Good morning, Mick Chowman. Well, I've got a little bit of a fucking trying to pose here. This is the kiddie's rod, and turn it around so it feeds straight. The like most things, decidedly full of shit, you know. Ooh, prepared to do everything, but I never get them all the preparation. But I never do them. This is the jolly little hand reels. And, well, the fishing line that I had was pretty old, and it was from some hardware store out in the middle of fucking nowhere. And the fishing line must have been sitting on the bloody hook in the aisle, you know, for like the last 20 years or something, because it was pretty old and kind of snapped kind of easy. That, you know, I think it was age, and then it was the breaking strain was so low, so I went and got some new fishing line and some bigger hooks. See that? Yeah. And the good thing about these things is two of these, they're very small, right? And here's the other half of this rod. Here's from tipped to thing. These are very small. Is that most of the fish in the inland rivers are very actually, I mean, they're not inconsequential, and rumour has it that in some of the lakes and rivers and shit, some of the fish can be really big. So here am I at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, just re-spooling it. And one of the things about these tiny little kids rods is that aside from Jarvis Walker being holy fucking irresponsible shits, who brought rods from China with fishing line that was only a little bit better than, you know, shitty cotton for a sewing machine, you know. And I got up them about that. And I said, you know, you need to change your fucking policies. And I said, oh, just in case you're not making it up, were you prepared to offer you a gratuity of, you know, one roll of fishing line or some shit, you know? And I said, you know. And, there's also a design flaw with these reels. They're not that good. I've got a fault. And I said, you know, oh, you know, and you know when you're dealing with dumb cunts who go, oh, no, we're not looking to redesign them. And I said, it's only a small change in the fucking dies, you know, that you're moulding these pieces of shit in. Oh, you can't say that. Oh, you're using rude words. We're not going to talk to you. And I said, Jarvis Walker, go fuck yourselves. You know. But the good thing about, see, the people can spend thousands of dollars on fishing, you know, really amazingly amazing, you know, fishing lines and casting gear and all this sort of shit, but because the inland rivers tend to be sort of fairly small, and most of the fish, you know, are like cruising along the riverbank sort of thing. The issue is that in the Australian bush, there's just fucking trees everywhere, you know. And so you don't need huge rods, and you don't need really pricey fucking tackling gear. You just need to be good enough to do the job, you know. And I forget the brand. I think breaking strain was £9 or some shit, you know what I mean? It's not really paper sort of thin type stuff, you know? And, the good thing about why I like the small rods, okay, dear patrons, because you only have to cast out maybe, 3 to 5 metres most of the time to be sort of in the, you know, to make the grade in terms of being able to catch something, getting, you know, far enough out into the fucking water, out into the river. And so there's no point, you know, if you're casting, say, 3 to 5 metres, So if you're only going to cast short distances, and I forget where it is. You're not going to need miles of equipment, but what happens is, the lead. By cutting off little strips of lead, just freshly oiled to stop them rusting or oxidizing. Yeah, lead rusts. But you can cut this stuff off, shave off the sharp corners, and bend it into tiny, tiny, tiny little flyweight sort of hooks or sinkers, you know, or fucking more. Not to get the bait and shit to sink to the bottom, but so you can cast a little bit further. And get your fucking hook with a bit of corn on it to sort of go just a bit further on it. And there's a lot of fish. Is one of the blessings of Australia is we've got fucking European carp. The cunts. And I've written a whole diatribe of a compilation of other people's expertise on how to catch and how to butcher and how to prepare carp so that they don't taste like what I call a floating shit sandwich, you know. And there's a whole heap of people from all around the world who've been catching and cooking and preparing these carp for fucking centuries. And they say like things like remove the bloodline, and as soon as you catch them, put them on ice, cool them off, you know what I mean? There's just a ton of stuff that you can do. And because when I was growing up, they were saying, oh, the European carp have reach plague proportion in Australia's rivers. You know, and I think his name was Paul Meehan or something. He was on the Mike Willacy show, and he's going, oh, my God. You know, the Mike Willacy show was a current affairs, you know. And you're saying, oh, they're as tough as tanks, and they're like the last thing to die in the river, and, you know, they're so full of bones, and they taste so bad that, you know, people would rather die than eat them, you know. You know, fucking, you know. And yeah, the science has proven that women are compulsive masturbators, and they do it at 3 to 5 times the rate of men. So, you know, you want a fucking, oh, fucking wanker, oh. And you do it like that, not like that. And I don't hate the guy, but it was a pretty, you know, for something such an important issue, the guy was totally pig ignorant, and he did just absolutely fucking bullshit research, and he never asked anybody from any other countries or asked for any fucking footage from other people from in other countries, you know. And it turns out that there's a whole, you know, like there's fishing industries of carp in Poland that they get all the carp, because in winter in Poland the rivers freeze over. So the carp basically have no food for several months. And what the our summer in Australia is their winter. So what they do is for a couple of months beforehand, when it starts getting real cold, I don't know the exact seasons and temperatures and what when the rivers and lakes generally start to freeze over. But when they do, the carp sort of head for the bottom, and where it's warmer, and they basically don't eat much, you know, for 3 months. And so what the Poles, people in Poland do, they have commercial farms where they fish out enormous quantities of carp, and then they put them in these great big full tanks of water, clean water, and they just sit them in there for 3 months with no food. And, you know, so that allows them to sort of clean themselves out. And they're rated as one of the best sort of table fishes you can get, you know. And people, I don't know everybody in the whole world and everything that everybody does, right? But here in Australia, and I guess because we're the 53rd state of the USA, you know, the Christmas ham is the big deal, you know. And, you know, roast ham and cold ham and all this other sort of shit, you know, it's good. And, but in Poland, they have the Christmas carp, you know, that's how they do it. And, you know, they're regarded as one of the best eating fishes ever. People going, oh, carp, oh, fuck yeah, you know. Whereas thanks to all the fucking retards in Australia, you know, who do a piss poor job of having an intellect, you know, and educating people properly, you know, we get taught that sort of carp are basically are floating shit sandwiches. They taste absolutely fucking awful, and you're supposed to reef them out and leave them on the bank to die. But now there's an estimated 500 million tons of feet of carp in all the rivers. And yeah, so that's what I've done, is I've done a huge compilation of other people, you know, what they tell us in videos and stuff, but I've done a huge compilation of links to all these other sort of sites, you know, basically YouTube and all these other people's videos on how to prepare carp, you know. And I also believe in Australia that there needs to be a decentralised or a distributed fucking carp farms where, you know, wild fish are caught in large sort of in a way that's sort of sustainable. You don't want to fish them out, but you also want to get rid of, you want to get the numbers right down and sort of keep them down. And Because these things are going to the market for about $8 or $10 a kilo, you know. And I think if these fish were kept in big tanks and the water from the tanks were full of shit, full of nutrients, it's not, it's shit for the fish and shit for the, you know, generally, shit as in it's shit and shit as in it's bad, you know, like it's a bad situation. But as a way to put all that shit, you know, to treat it by different bacteria on all this sort of gravel that sort of digests the shit and takes all the ammonia and all this sort of stuff, takes that out, and then what you're left with is nutrient laden water that can be used in aquaculture, you know, for growing cucumbers and lettuces and tomatoes and all this other sort of stuff. So, you know, while the fish are rotated through big tanks, you know, the water's oxygenated and extracted and, you know, used to fucking grow all these plants. So, you know, and you might even be able to fatten the fish up a bit, you know what I mean? With, you know, good sort of grain and stuff, you know, you know, a bit of nutritional sort of supplement type stuff, you know. And so that's my other idea, is to decentralise the farming of fish. You know, harvesting like commercial operations every, say, 10K of river. There's like a small farm, aquaculture farm, and a butchery and a freezer works, you know. And you know, if each farm can, I don't know, 3 to 5 tons a week, you know, I'll just go electrofishing and clean out half a K of river or something, you know, get 3 to 5 tons a week. And, yeah, I think that's a doable sort of thing. Like, while I have other things, I'm more of an idea person rather than a, go do, because I have more ideas than can go do, so, you know. But that's my sort of hope, is to establish a whole heap of fucking carp farms all around Australia, you know. Just turn the cunts into fucking food. And there's all these ways to prepare them, so if you get all the fucking, you have them in the water for, you know, fresh water for, say, a month or two, that way you get a whole heap of fresh vegetables, you get a whole heap of fresh fish, and the fish has got all the stink taken out of it, so you've got really good meat. And there's ways and means of processing the fish to either get the bone, because cartilage isn't like calcium sort of bones. Cartilage actually dissolves back into gelatin relatively easy. So with high cooking temperatures, you know, there's one guy who's, I think he's Asian or whatever, but what he did is he said, you slice them really thin, but you don't slice them with the bones, you slice them across the bones really thin, and then the bones get exposed to the hot fat, and then they just dissolve into the flesh, you know. And so there's a ton of fucking really good information out there. And you know, I turn them into fish paste, so where the stuff is just ground so fine that the bones are just ground into fucking sort of molecular level food, you know. And yeah, you know, and there's ways to fillet them and just a ton of stuff. There's a lot of, so I think it's a really good fish. And so to put my, money where my mouth is, as I intend to sort of, that's what those little bits of lead are, is to give you like a little bit of weight in the line so you can get it, say, 10 or 15 feet out, you know, and with a bit of bread on the line. Or there's one that someone clever said, you know, if you get the material that these Chucks, C-H-U-X, super wipes are made of, which is a polyester, it's an open weave polyester sort of cloth, but you can melt mozzarella cheese onto it and then cut it into tiny little strips and put those on your hook, and the fish really like them and they can't suck the cheese off the hook, you know. That was my idea, you know. Don't use just cheese on the hook. Use, you know, get someone else's idea, which is to use chucks, and then sort of melt the cheese into the chucks, you know, just a warm pan. So you should be able to get, you know, depending on the fish and temperature, time, water, all that sort of shit, you might be able to get, you know, 5 or 10 fish on one baited hook. You know, so, yeah. And I've also had to incorporate, it's like, it's not that I'm extraordinarily stupid, but if I don't use something much, I don't tend to remember it, you know. And so, you know, I posted a video on how to, you know, this guy put this video up on how to call what he calls the universal knot or the uni knot. And this is really amazing. But until I had tried to follow it, because his fingers were in the way, I couldn't see how he was manipulating the line. And it wasn't until I got a very, very simple drawing, a properly done drawing, you know, details, that I was able to actually sort of begin to master the universal fucking knot. And, you know, a little bit of spit on it before you tighten it up so it slides in, and so it's lubricated and it slides in, you know. Where have I heard that before? And just spit on it. And, yeah. So yeah, that's the advantage with these little fishing lines, is that they, so in Australia there's bush and trees and shrubs and twigs and fucking sticks and bloody all sorts of shit everywhere, and the advantage of a very small light rod is you can get through all the fucking undergrowth instead of trying to swing a fucking flagpole around. You got a tiny little thing that's about a metre long, you know, when it's broken in two, you know. And, you know, it's, yeah, about, oh, I don't know, fucking a metre long, maybe 80, 90 centimetres, you know. And what they also do is they break into two, and then you can put them behind your fucking car seat, you know. They're small and they're light and they fit in the fucking, you know. So you can have a tackle box like that, you know what I mean? A little tackle box with your fucking hooks and your jellies and shit. So you can do your casting and, you know, little things that go, you know, through the water, you know, on your fishing line. And you can put your hand lines in with a bit of fucking tin corn or whatever, a bit of fresh, you get some frozen corn, you know. Take a little pack of, like, get a big bag of frozen corn and just take out, you know, I don't know, fuck, it depends on where you go, but how many fish do you really need? But getting, you know, enough to put on, say, to bait, say, 20 hooks. 20 baiting hook, say 20 times, what's that like, 5 or 6 corn kernels, you know, so that's like, you know, a small, say 2 or 3 heap teaspoons of fucking corn, you know, yeah, and maybe try and catch some redfin. On the, you know, you get some lures and things, that jellies and stuff, you know, the rubbery sort of fish. Yeah, that's not a bad thing. Yeah, and for big town men, real men, if you've never seen this, this is called a NATO fucking watch band, right? And, I have an absolute cunt of a time with it. If it gets sweaty under the band, I get these fucking, because I wear my watch all the time, I have a real problem with the bands getting sweaty and getting a real rash. So what I did is I bought a small little ultrasonic cleaner for like, I think, $10 or $12. And the thing about the NATO band is that when, what it does is it keeps, like most wristbands allow the watch to roll round, you know what I mean? They allow the watch to spin round your fucking arm. And see what the NATO band does. I don't think it's NATO as in, oh, there's this, oh fuck, there's a story behind it, but I can't be fucked. Can't be fucked trying to remember what it was or is. But it's called the NATO band, and that's how it works, you know. So it basically means that, you know, it's pretty hard to, if you get some really good strong pins. Yeah, so what this means is I can soak my fucking watch in cloudy ammonia, or soak my watch band in cloudy ammonia, you know, say for 2 or 3 hours, and that watch won't swivel, you know what I mean? It doesn't spin round your fucking wrist. That's the good thing. They're very good bands. But what the NATO, I'm losing my fucking train of thought here. Yeah, what it means is you got a really good fucking band, and your watch doesn't move around it, but it's also, because of the design, it's very, very hard to actually lose the watch off the band, you know. You have to look it up, NATO watch bands, NATO. There's a whole heap of real fucking good smarts behind it, and I really like the band. But the, what was it? Yeah, but I have that problem with the fucking, you know, if I wear this, you know, more than a couple of days, and it's sweaty, yeah, there's horrendous rashes. Just, it doesn't look sort of ugly, but it just gets as itchy as all fuck, you know. It just, oh God, you know, you don't want to. Yeah. So anyway. Oh God, fuck. They still itch. But anyway. Yeah, so if it gets sweaty under the watch band, I just get a fucking unbelievably fucking irritated sort of rash. Not so much a rash, but it just gets really bad, like red, and it just irritates, like, oh fuck, you know. So take the whole thing apart, put the fucking watch band in some cloudy ammonia for a few hours, and then in some clean hot water in the bloody ultrasonic cleaner, tap water hot, put that in the ultrasonic cleaner, do 2 or 3 cycles, cleans out all the fucking shit, you know, and you got a nice clean watch band that's fit to re-wear. I don't know how I'll go in summer, but, you know, I think that's the best solution. So anyway, guys, that's how, you know, that's part of living in Australia, is you got, you know, take a little fucking, like, a matchbox full of fucking tinned corn or something. You know, if you don't eat much tinned corn, you can just, you know, get a big tin of it and put a bit, bag it up into tiny little bags, you know, enough for a quick trip or whatever. And then, you know, just portion it out, you know, get the tinned corn, because I think it tastes better than fresh corn in frozen sort of thing. And just portion it out into sort of like half matchbox size amounts, you know what I mean, or one matchbox full kind of amount. That's plenty, that's heaps. And Go to your favorite fishing spot, or stop at the places that look inviting on the way through. You know, toss your line. You got it all in the back seat. Out it comes, ready to go. You know, it's that's small, it's light, and those little fishing rods. Well, Jarvis Walker. I mean, for fuck's sake, you know, it's like pull a fishing line and it was breaking. You know, and oh fuck, we don't have any. You fucking brain dead cunts and your lack of quality control. You know, it's inexcusable. And I wasn't the only person that picked up on it. Fuck me, this is like, know. You know, just because it's a fucking kid's fishing line, there's no excuse to put totally fucking shit fishing line on it. You know? Jarvis Walker. So, yeah. Just to put a bit of fucking well-aimed shit, you know, on the fishing industry. They're going, oh, this model fishing line and, or this model reel and that model reel, they're fucking identical. Just got different paint jobs, powder coated, you know, hot powder coating. That's all they are. Yeah, this model, that model. I just pick colours that are easy to see because I hate fucking losing shit in the dark or in low light or if it falls over. You know, it's fucking hard to find, you know. I've had a cunt full of that stupid shit, you know. You know, had an absolute cunt full of it, you know. You know, so that's why I buy easy to see things and easy to find colours. But the fishing reels, they're charging hundreds of dollars, and oh, the new XPT model and the DMZ model and the Super Sport model and all this sort of shit. All of these fucking cunts are doing is changing the colours on the thing and putting on different stickers, and it's the same shit they've been making for the last 20 fucking years, you know? You know, in essence, this is really not much different. You know, the gearing and all this other sort of crap, this is not much different to a little fucking hand drill. You know, the little, you don't see them much. But you know, you got the knob of a handle there, and you turn your little thing, and there's a couple of a gear there and a gear there, and then it spins the shaft down to fucking the chuck there. You know what I mean? They're not much different to that. The design is not like fuck, this is amazingly amazing. Oh, you know. You know, if you combine the parts of a fucking little hand drill with a say the ratchet, oh, what's it, the clutching mechanism of a 10-speed racer or some shit. You know, you've got it all fucking sorted, you know, and those cunts are just saying, oh, fucking amazingly amazing, you know, and there's really cheap ones, and you know, they've got no ball bearings, and they're just, you know, they're not going to last a long time, but generally, it's not hard to make a fucking really good fishing reel with proper seals and good lubricant and water resist, waterproof, you know, so water doesn't get into all the moving bits and stuff. It's not hard to make it, you know, and why make a completely shit fucking reel just to put it on, say, something you can, it's dead in 3 years, 2 or 3 years, and you know, 10 fish later in 2 or 3 years. And it's fucked, you know what I mean? Good fishing reels are easy to make, and using quality components and really good designs and all this sort of shit. So you can make, you know, and it's not like there's making one or two, you know, and they're the most exotic space age material under the sun. It's really good to make really good fucking reels at a low cost through mass production. And, that last a really long time. They're really good quality items, you know. And yeah, but this is the whole fucking scam. There's not a lot of difference between a basic kind of reel and the really most flash, you know. They just use anodizing and different dyes and lacquers and all this fanciful colouring and paints and bloody stickers and shit. But the fucking reels have never changed much, you know. You know, they're not using, you know. some space age fucking alloy that's, you know, half a gram and has 20,000 tons of breaking strain or some shit, you know what I mean? You know? So that's all these fucking cunts, you know, like Jarvis Walker and all this sort of, they're just, you know, shuffling the deck chairs. You're not actually getting a really unique item that's really worth $500 or $600. You're just getting basic shit where they just paint, change the paint jobs, you know? You know? And sure, there are designs that are really good and they fucking are well made. You know, and there's different sorts of fucking fishing reels. But, yeah, the industry's a, the fishing line, the fishing industry, Jarvis Walker, is basically a huge shit show of scams and bullshit and high fucking, high talking on basic fucking components, you know. Spare me the fucking bullshit, you know. If your quality control is so bad that you're allowing the fucking Chinese cunts to make, you know, fishing reels and stuff with fishing line that, you know, like, it's like, you know, one finger kind of fucking breaking strain sort of stuff, you know. Yeah, they need to be called out on that fucking crap. You know, there should be a good basic fucking model that is a high quality, you know, ball bearings on all the shafts and they're all properly sealed and decent greases and stuff, you know what I mean? And they come with a 25-year warranty, you know. I mean, if you fuck it, it's because you fell on it or jumped on it or bloody the car ran over it or some other shit, but you know what I mean? It's not hard to make a reel with, say, good seals and all this other sort of stuff that's 25-year warranty. It's piss easy to make, you know. Plus a manual and just how to do the annual servicing on it, you know what I mean? 5 minutes with a clean bit of toilet paper and a fucking fresh bit of grease. Sealed up and running for another year of daily fishing, you know. I mean, fuck me, you know. And I am the person who changed the entire cycling industry of the world. You know, I got so fed up, I'm thinking, you know, they had the bottom bearings, you know, they had a, say that's the fucking crankshaft, you know what I mean? And then your pedal, your crank arm and then your pedal, you know what I mean? There's your crank arm and then your pedal. And it had open bearings, you know, screwing cups, and they had gaps in them, but the gaps would allow the dirt and water and all this other sort of shit to get in the bearings. So you're constantly having to sort of, frequently having to strip and clean and re-grease the bearings, putting new balls, new grease, you know what I mean, or just periodically changing over balls, grease, balls, bearings, you know what I mean, the actual races, and the crankshaft itself, because the fucking stuff was wearing out because the dirt and water was getting into the fucking bearings. And I said to these fucking cunts in the bloody cycling industry, I said, why in the fuck are you still using, why in the fuck are you using open bearings on bicycles, you know, when people have been manufacturing good quality bearings, good quality low friction bearings with real good quality low friction seals. You know, they put them in fucking car engines. The cunts are fucking half the bearings inside the motor and the other half's facing the fucking real world. And they get hit with water and dirt and dust and shit like that. And the bearings are good for like a million fucking kilometres. You know what I mean? The seals keep the fucking dirt out of the bearing and out of the engine, you know? And here's a bicycle walk, you know, travelling, being cranked at the same speed as a fucking washing line, you know? Oh, wind the fucking clothes up. And they're fucked. You got to fucking strip them and clean them and, you know, replace the components on a sort of semi-regular basis. Every 500 fucking miles, you got to strip them and clean them, you know. And every, you know, 3 or 4 fucking stripping and cleanings, you know, you got to start replacing the balls and the fucking cups and the bloody crankshaft, you know, because they're wearing out from being ground out. So as a result of myself sticking it up the fucking idiots, you fucking idiots in the bloody cycling industry, that changed the entire cycling industry. You know, I contacted about, I don't know, 10 manufacturers. And I said, why in the fuck are you still using open bearings when, you know, really good sealed bearings have been, you know, done for a long fucking time, you know. You know, and so thanks to me, I changed the entire cycling industry to get fucking, now you can buy sealed crank sets, you know what I mean? The crankshaft and the balls and the races are inside a fucking cartridge and it's all got proper good seals on it, you know, lipped fucking rubber seals. And, you know, you screw the whole fucking cartridge into the fucking, you know, and if you want to, I don't like the pricing, but if you want to throw a bit of money at it, you know, you can have bearings in your fucking bike, in your bicycle, that will last like 10, 15 years of sort of daily commuting kind of riding, you know. So it's thanks to me, I changed the entire fucking cycling industry of the planet because I stood up for, you know, against this stupid shit, you know. Told all these fucking retarded cunts, you know, get fucked, you know. You can do better. About time you did. And I'm about to change the telephony industry in Australia. There's heads I'm going to kick hard, you know. You fucking retarded cunts and their bloody bottom dollar Indian call centres and their fucking bullshit, you know what I mean? Oh, I'll tell you about it when I've got it, when it's underway, you know. Just the fucking lying and the low IQ bullshit involved, not on. So anyway, thanks, gentlemen. This is a happy fishing days with Shane. Oh, cunts. It's like, but that's, you know, it's like $10 or $15 for a fucking complete fishing rod. You know, the kids' stuff, it's really good. It's like, it's small, it's light, it break, the rods pull apart into two pieces and they fit quite neatly behind your fucking driver's seat so you can just pull up anywhere and go, oh, I think I'll throw a fucking line in, you know. And the hand lines are really good, you know. Because, you know, if you work out very carefully how to do the underarm, there's a sort of technique of very slow winding, you know. If you use a very slow fucking winding, you know, I'm going to start, you know, using top fishing with just a, you know, a few bits of corn and or bread or something like that, and just enough weight to get out, say about 3 meters, 2 or 3 meters. And then we'll go for the fucking carp. Le carp. You know, and use the fishing rods for redfin and shit like that on the lakes. So anyway, guys, all this little fishing kit, you know, it's pretty fucking good, you know, so. Fuck. All right, thank you for everything. Bye.